I was asked if I was not going to read about the birds this year. So with the choir singing Emmanuel, I thought, how fitting. The man to whom I'm going to introduce you was not a Scrooge. He was a kind, decent, mostly good man, generous to his family, upright in his dealings with other men, but he just didn't believe all that incarnation stuff which the churches proclaim at Christmas time. It just didn't make sense to him, and he was too honest to pretend otherwise. He just couldn't swallow the Jesus story, you know, about God coming to earth as a man. "I'm truly sorry to distress you," he told his wife, "but I'm not going with you to church this Christmas Eve." He said that he would feel like a hypocrite, that he'd much rather just stay at home, but that he would wait up for them. And so he stayed, and they left for the midnight service. Well, shortly after the family drove away in their car, the snow began to fall. He went to the window to watch the flurries getting heavier and heavier. And then he went back to his fireside chair and began to read the newspaper. Minutes later, he was startled by a thudding sound. Then there was another, and then another. Sort of a thump. At first, he thought someone must be throwing snowballs against his living room window. But when he went to the front door to investigate, he found a flock of birds huddled miserably in the snow. They had been caught in this sudden storm, and in a desperate search for shelter, they had tried to fly through his large window. Well, he couldn't let these poor creatures lie there and freeze. He thought, what can I do to try to save these birds? And he remembered the barn where his children stabled their pony. Oh, that would provide warm shelter if he could just direct the birds into this barn. So quickly he put on his coat, his galoshes, and tramped through the deepening snow to the barn. He opened the doors wide and turned on a light, but the birds wouldn't go in. So he thought, I know, I'll entice them with some food. So he hurried back to the house, fetched some breadcrumbs, sprinkled them on the snow, making a trail into the doorway of the stable. But to his dismay, the birds ignored the breadcrumbs, and they continued to flap around helplessly in the snow. So he tried to catch them. He tried to shoo them into the barn. He waved his arms like a big bird himself. But instead, they scattered in every direction, except into the warm, lighted barn. And then he realized, they're afraid of me. That's it. I'm like this huge monster to them. So he reasoned, I am a strange and terrifying creature. If only I could think of some way to let them know that they can trust me, that I'm not trying to hurt them. I'm trying to help them. But how? What can I do? Because any move he made just tended to frighten the poor creatures and confuse them. So they would not follow him, no matter what. They would not be led or shooed because they feared him. And then he thought to himself, if only I could be a bird and mingle with them and speak their language, then I could tell them not to be afraid. Then I could show them the way to safety. I could show them where warmth is, how to be safe in the barn. But I would have to be one of them so that they could see and hear and understand. At that moment, the church bells rang. The sound reached his ears above the sounds of the wind, and he stood there listening to the bells. And then he realized the bells were pealing the glad tidings of Christmas. And he fell to his knees and said to himself, God is here. God did come. Emmanuel.
you guys realize that back in October 25th, the Hallmark Channel started showing their Christmas movies? October 25th, it wasn't even Halloween yet, and they were showing Christmas movies. Now, I've got a rule at my house that continually gets broken when I'm not there, but my rule is this, is that we cannot watch Christmas movies or listen to Christmas music at my house until Thanksgiving. After Thanksgiving, when the kids got up that morning, first thing they said, can we watch Christmas movies now? After the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and we see Santa come across the thing, then you can watch Christmas movies. But I have to admit, and some of you may think I need to turn in my man card for saying this, but I like Christmas movies. Amen. I like Hallmark Christmas movies. I like Pixel Christmas movies. I like that warm, gushy feeling that you get from watching these love story Christmas movies. There's a couple that me and my wife watch every year, and some of them don't show anymore on Hallmark, so I go find them on YouTube and watch them on YouTube. We've watched about 3 movies on YouTube just within the last little bit because Hallmark doesn't show those particular movies anymore. And I like them. I like those love stories. But there is a love story that is bigger than all love stories, and it's the love story that changes everything. And that's what we're going to look at today. So if you would turn to 1 John chapter 4, we're going to look at one verse there to start this message today. If you would turn there and stand as I read this, in honor of God's word, and this is what it says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. And it says this, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation of our sins. It's not that we loved God, but that God loved us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our blessed Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you for your love. And as we look exactly what love did, and look at this love story, that you would bless the reading of your word and you would bless this time. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ our Savior we pray. Amen. This is a love story that is better than any Hallmark movie. Okay, Hallmark could not publish a story this good. I've already read First John chapter 4, verse 10. What we have to realize is this is a love story that doesn't take up just a 2-hour slot on the TV screen. This is a love story that spanned a millennia. Thousands and thousands of years. This love story took place. This love story didn't start when the angel appeared to Mary. It began before creation even began. Look at what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. before the foundations of the world, God had a plan. Before He created us, He had a plan. Jeremiah says, "Behold, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you." God had a plan from the very moment before He created us. He knew that we would reject Him. He knew that relationship would be broken. And before, and this blows my mind, people. I have said this many times. Before He made you, He knew that you would reject Him, and He still made you. And He had a plan to restore that relationship with you before you were created. So this love story didn't just start when the angel appeared to Mary. It started before Adam and Eve were created. It started before the earth was formed. He had a plan. This love story didn't end in the town of Bethlehem on that starry night and the angel's proclamation of the Messiah's birth. It didn't stop there. Matthew 1:21, "She will bear a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins." The love story didn't stop there. Because then you get to John chapter 3, verse 16. And it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." God's plan, that love story, didn't end. And you think about the Hallmark love stories. Okay? If these two people met and they fell in love, and that was it, that wouldn't be very much of a love story, now would it? That'd be a good love story, but that would not make a good movie, would it? What happens in these love stories that you watch on TV? One is that the girl or the guy, in some cases, is always interested in the wrong person. Their love interest is not a good person. They are not the right person. Well, what about us? Do we immediately love God? No. We love the world. We love what's going around. We love what Satan offers us. You think about this. Sin is fun. Sin is exciting. Sin is enticing. If it wasn't, nobody would do it. Simple truth. Satan knows what we're attracted to. Satan knows what will get our attention. And Satan uses that bait to lure us away and to snag us. And we get snagged before we even realize we've been snagged. We're like that fish that sees that big juicy worm. And we go after it. We don't pay attention to that float. We don't pay attention to that line. We don't pay attention to that hook. All we see is what we want. And we go after it. And we grab hold of it just like that fish does. And don't realize it's too late until you try to get away. Sin will always keep you, or it will take you where you don't want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than what you want to pay. Just like in a Hallmark love story, we can't get it right until we try all the wrong things. But then, the person that has been waiting in the corner, that's loving this person with all they have, that is really the right person for them, the other person finally realizes, hey, I shouldn't be with this person. This is the person I should really be with. Because their love is pure, their love is right. And by the end of the movie, everything is good. Most of the time, they got with the person they're supposed to be with, and everything works out, and that makes for good dramatic television or movies. But you know what? we do the same exact thing. Because the verse that we first read said, not that we loved God, but that God loved us. God's been sitting over there waiting for us to come back. He wants us to choose Him. And He does everything that He can do to prove His love to us. And we keep ignoring it until we finally get to a point where we realize, that's what I need in the first place. That's going to make everything right. God is the one that can fix all of this, and He's the one that loves me despite of everything else. Just like in a Hallmark movie. But it didn't stop when the angels proclaimed the birth of the Messiah. The love story led to the cross of Calvary, but it didn't end there. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated His love, His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How much more could somebody prove the love for somebody else than laying down their life? We were not lovable. In fact, we were enemies with God. And God still gave the perfect Lamb of God as a sacrifice. Christ gave up His throne at the right hand of the Father, came to earth to be born homeless, to be born to unwed parents, to be raised by a carpenter, to be rejected by His own family, by those that He thought were His best friends, to be ridiculed, to be despised by the religious leaders, for loving those that were lovable, for loving and caring about those that had been outcast, being rejected by the very ones that He came to save. And He still went to the cross because of the love that God had for us. This love story took us to a grave, but it couldn't be stopped by death. You think about some of the Nicholas Sparks movies. And I think what one of them, the Notebook, I've never seen it, but if I understand it correctly, that this story spans decades, if I'm not mistaken. Is that what it is? And how? All I know is that James Gardner's in it. Rockford's in it. And they end up, the woman ends up in an institution, and he goes and ends up being placed in the institution so he can be with her. And they both die. He kept sneaking in to her room at night and lying with her in bed at night. And when it came time, they both died together. And everybody's like, oh, what a beautiful love story. Well, this love story didn't end with death. Because my God, my Savior, the one that was born and announced by the angels, the one that was born to unwed parents, the one that was born in the manger because there was no room for Him, the one that was rejected and went and died anyway, He did not stay dead. That love story raised Him from the dead so that we may have eternal life. Better than anything Nicholas Sparks or Hallmark could put together, because this love story didn't end with death. Acts 2:24, but God raised Him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for Him to be held in its power. My God is bigger than death. This love story is bigger than death. This love story continues on today as we wait for our love to return for us. John 14, 1 through 3. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also. We always wait in these love stories for the object of the affection to return and take who belongs to them. We see these stories. I remember one time watching the Waltons. And I know you younger people have no idea what I'm talking about. But watching the Waltons, and Mary Ellen got married to a soldier, a doctor in the army. Where she came back from war, World War II, he didn't come back. Supposedly he was killed in action. And everybody was sad, and all of a sudden, if I remember correctly, he showed up one day. He had been injured and been in a hospital himself, but then he got better and he came back. And everybody was like, oh. And then Mary Ellen and the doctor started a practice there in Walton's Mountain. Well, let me tell you something. How much better is this going to be when our Messiah comes back with the shout of the archangel and a blast of the trumpet, and the clouds are going to part, and he's going to be standing there saying, "Welcome home." We just had a funeral this past week. Francis Wright, 94 years old. When she died, having her faith in Jesus Christ, when she closed her eyes in death, she opened them in the presence of God. And he sat there with his arms open wide saying, "Welcome home." Death does not stop it. He promised us that he would come back and get us. He has kept every promise that he has ever made from the time before time began. And he's not in the business of starting to break his promises. And he's kept every one. He's going to keep this one. And he says, "I'm coming back to get you. Because I love you. And because you are mine, I'm coming back to get you." I keep reminding my kids, no matter how big they get, no matter how old they get or how far they move away, they do not stop being my children. And Ginger and I will never stop being their parents. They may not like it. In fact, they tell us, "We don't want to talk to you about this because we know, well, we're not going to stop being your parent just because you don't want us to hear, don't want to hear from us. Don't want us to say how we feel about something. We're going to be your parents regardless. Jesus is going to be our Savior. And nothing can stop that." Look at what it says here. There is no sad ending to the greatest love story ever. Okay, there's not a sad ending. Unlike today's love story, this love story does not have a sad ending. You think about it. These love stories are tear jerkers. They get you right here. And some of them end, like I said, The Notebook, both the main characters end up dying. Sad ending. A beautiful sad ending, but a sad ending. Our story does not have a sad ending. There is no sad ending. Even the saddest part of it, when Christ died on the cross, was actually not a sad part. It was a celebration because Satan got defeated right then and there and didn't even realize he had been beat. That's an incredible story in itself. But look at what it says here in Romans 8, 38 through 39. And this is the most exciting thing that we need to celebrate at Christmas. Right here. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The greatest love story in the history of the world that began before time even began came in the form of a baby born in that barn, laid in that manger, lived of life, 3 years of ministry, and then died on the cross as a sacrificial death for us, as paying the price of a debt that he didn't owe, of a debt that we could not pay. He is the epitome of love. And he loved us enough, not only did he die on the cross for our sins, but he loved us so much that God would not allow him to stay dead. Love caused him to rise again. And he then, after rising from the dead and defeating Satan, death, hell, and the grave, went to heaven to go back to the right hand of the Father. And he's sitting on that throne right now, just waiting for God to say, "It's time." Jesus is coming back a second time. And the second time, he's coming back to get what belongs to him. Amen. And nothing in this world can stop that. Nothing in the world can take us out of his hands. Nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. The love that was shown on that day so many years ago that we celebrate today, nothing can separate us from that. And I'm going to tell you something. Not even ourselves. A lot of people say they can turn their back and walk away. Nothing can separate us from God. If we're able to walk away from him, we never knew him in the first place. That's just a cold, hard fact. Because many of you have had to be distanced because of job, because of deployment, have had to be separated from the one that you love. Even now, some of you are separated by death from the one that you love. And there is that emptiness that you will always have, that longing to be with that person. And if you turn your back as a child of God, if you walk away from God, you're going to have something missing in your life that you're not going to be able to stand. There's going to be an emptiness in you that drives you completely insane. And the only thing that can fix that is being back in the arms of God. Just like the only thing that can fix that loneliness that you feel when you're separated is to be back in the arms of the ones that you love. That's the love story. That is the love story of Christmas. And church, if there's somebody here today that doesn't understand the love story that took place on the Christmas day, we're not talking about which day it was. People want to argue about, well, he couldn't have been born exactly on Christmas Day. No, who cares? Honestly. The fact is what this day represents, and it represents the birth of Christ. It represents that this love story continues. And if you don't know that, and you don't know, if there's that emptiness in you that you know you've tried to fill other ways and you can't, I would love to be able to introduce you to Jesus today. Because there's nothing better than knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. To know the love of God and to accept what the love caused him to do. Nothing is better than that. And what better way to celebrate Christmas than accepting the one that was born on Christmas? This is your opportunity to do that today. Don't leave today without taking care of that. As we sing, this is your time to come forward and do business with God and get that taken care of right now.
Would you stand as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 141, The Old Rugged Cross, 141.
Don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock, Christmas party here in the fellowship hall. Come ready to have a good time of fellowship with your with other church members and guests. Everybody's invited. And don't forget, Tuesday night, 11 o'clock, is our Christmas Eve service here at the church. So please be here for that. No service Wednesday night. We hope that you have an incredible Christmas. An incredible time with your family. Thank you for being here. And don't forget the love story. Don't forget why Jesus came in the first place. So at this time, if you bow, why do you mind dismissing us, please, sir?
Heavenly Father, thank you.